Nationwide strikes in France over pension reforms. That's as Parliament debates whether to raise the retirement age. President Macron and his government say the choice is reform or bankruptcy, but other proposals unfair to workers. This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I'm Adrian Finnegan. A day after France's National Assembly started to debate an overhaul of pensions, workers walked off the job and took to the streets in nationwide strikes. It's the third time such major demonstrations have been held this year. The reforms were at the heart of President Emmanuel Macron's re-election campaign last year, but are proving deeply unpopular across the country. They include raising the retirement age from 62 to 64 years and increasing the number of years that people must make contributions to receive a full state pension. Union leaders say that all this is dangerous for democracy, but Macron's party argues that it's balancing the system as the current age is dragging on public finances. We'll get to our panel shortly, but first, Al Jazeera's Harry Fawcett reports from Paris.
For a third week now, a major national strike affecting all sorts of sectors in France. The transport network, teachers are out on strike, postal workers, and for the first time, farmers' unions are also taking part in this national action. There are demonstrations in the works here in Paris and in cities across the country. In the last two occasions, more than a million people took to the streets, opposed, of course, to President Macron's plans to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. There is, I think, a consensus in this country that something needs to be done to reform the pension system. President Macron's finance minister says there'll be a 14 billion euro hole in the national budget by 2030 if nothing is done to fix the problem. But there is real difference as to what exactly to do about it. The opposition parties in the National Assembly are arguing against it. They're trying to get it scrapped or sent to a referendum. Neither of those options are looking likely, but they're also proposing some 20,000 amendments to the legislation during the course of this next month of debate, trying to slow it, trying to make their arguments as public as possible against it. For President Macron, this is a real issue of his identity as a reformer. He wants to leave a legacy as to having tackled this extremely difficult problem. And if he needs to, there is an option open to him to try to force it through, no matter what the National Assembly says. For others, though, this is a real issue of national identity for France, because people here really do value life over work. They value the idea of having worked all their lives and then retiring with dignity and with time to enjoy that retirement. So this is a major issue really disrupting life here in this country. Harry Fawcett for Inside Story in Paris.
So let's bring in our guests for today's discussion. From Paris, we're joined by Rémy Bourgeot. He's Associate Fellow at the French Institute of International and Strategic Affairs. Paul Taylor is Contributing Editor at Politico. He joins us from Saint-Rémy-de-Provence. And in London, we've got Rainbow Murray, who's Professor of Politics at Queen Mary University, London. Good to have all three of you. Welcome to the programme. We'll start with you then, Rémy. For the last decade, electorates in most EU countries have accepted a later retirement age, largely without protest. Why is France different? Do the unions and the public have the appetite, do you think, for a long fight over this issue?
Well, pension reforms is really something in France that stirs debate. It's one of the last kinds of reforms and political discussions that really raise so much interest and passion. There's already been a series of reforms about every 10 years in 1993, 2003, 2014, and this year again. So there's a repetitive aspect to these reforms. The discussion is always a bit the same. And a large part of this reform is about accelerating the previous reform and also raising the retirement age by 2 years, from 62 to 64 years. But yeah, there's a sense of continuity, of repetition with these reforms, and a general lack of economic discussion about what is really being achieved, and a lack of understanding of the broader economic technological context, how much pensions are going to weigh or not on workers in the future, depending on the path of productivity, economic growth in general. So we have this very limited discussion with a lot of passion on all sides, and it's really I think related to the lack of broader economic discussion. And finally, you have these movements, unions, and also political parties that are lost in relevance in recent years, in recent decades, actually, which really seize on this opportunity to come back to the fore and to be vocal on their side of the political equation.
But Remy, I come back to that question: do the public and the unions have the appetite for a long fight here?
Yes, I mean it's crucial for the unions. They're lost in political weight in recent years. It's crucial for them to really be vocal, to be heard on this issue, and for the government as well. They can't really go back because they've already postponed other reforms, and this is really seen as key. It's not as essential as it's claimed to be economically. The current system is not as imbalanced as is often said. There's been this series of reforms already, but I think the political messaging is extremely important on both sides, for the government and the unions. There isn't so much political opposition anymore. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of amendments that have been proposed by opposition parties, but they are not that much key in the political discussion. Simply, the government wants to avoid having to pass this law by force, which is allowed by the French constitution. So they're trying to get some more support, but they will have to pass this law at some point anyway.
Paul, you wrote at Politico that Macron has staked his second term and his reputation as an economic reformer on raising the pensionable age. The question has to be, why, when it's so unpopular, or at least appears to be so unpopular, with large swathes of the electorate?
Well, you know, reform is historically unpopular in France, and the French have a way of protesting about it, going through this routine, if you like, almost a ritual of strikes and street demonstrations, and then swallowing it. And I think that's what the government is ultimately counting on to happen again. Why? Because all of Emmanuel Macron's presidency, if you like, has been about trying to make France a more modern, if you like, a more investable country, trying to get the economy growing faster and trying to balance the books without having to cause deep pain. Now, he hasn't managed to balance the books, but that's partly been because of the COVID pandemic, which has meant that nobody's been able to balance their books. And it's partly been because of the war in Ukraine. But nevertheless, you know, his key economic reforms have been to get more people into work, to get unemployment down, and to make work the centerpiece. And in this case, it's rather strange in a way that the French, they latch on to a symbol. They care more about symbols than they do about numbers. If you like, they prefer demagogy to demography. You know, when pensions, you know, when the retirement age was reduced to 60 by François Mitterrand, the great achievement of the left in the 1980s, in those days, there were four active contributing workers for every one pensioner. And the average age of life expectancy was 74. Well, now, today, we have about 1.7 workers per pensioner, and the life expectancy has risen to 83. That's all very good, but somewhere you have to find a way of balancing these things out and expecting people in their early 60s to work a bit longer, provided French employers actually will employ them. And that's an important part which the government has yet to properly address, in my view. is to say companies really have to step up to the plate. Stocks that are trying to get rid of seniors in their 50s, trying to get expensive old dogs that allegedly can't learn new tricks off their payroll, and then putting them onto the public payroll on various benefits, disability or whatever, years before their actual retirement age. That's what needs to change.
How much of this is to do with Macron, though, and his legacy? Remy was saying that the pension system is not as imbalanced as perhaps the politicians would have us believe. Does he actually need to do it?
Well, it's currently in the pension accounts are currently in a slight surplus, but predictably, you know, on a normal path, by 2030, they will be in deficit, and that deficit will grow and then stabilize. So, yes, something does need to be done about pensions in the medium term. The question, is this the right time? Well, you know, Macron tried a more ambitious pension reform a few years ago, and then he had to stop. He abandoned it when COVID struck, but essentially he was in political difficulty at the time. So, you know, there's always a good argument for postponing any reform. But I think that France needs to grasp the nettle. The message, if Macron were to be defeated, if France were unable to raise its retirement age to 64, when most of Europe is already at 65, 66, 67, I think would again send that old message that France is just ungovernable. And I don't think that that would be to the country's advantage.
Professor Murray, Rainbow, do these reforms affect some sectors of society more than others? And if so, is that fair?
Yes, this is one of the main claims made by the unions, that these reforms do have a differential impact on different sectors of society. They argue that people from the upper and middle classes who work in white collar jobs tend to be able to work for longer and to enjoy a longer retirement once they do finish working. Whereas people who are in more physically taxing jobs, a lot of manual labour, a lot of working class professions are more physically taxing, and people find it difficult to work for as many years as people in less physically demanding jobs. And they also tend to have a shorter retirement due to low life expectancy. And so their argument is that this is a reform that has little or no consequence for people in cushy professions who were probably already working past the retirement age with little penalty. Whereas for people who are struggling and desperately looking forward to their retirement, this is an extra two brutal years that comes out of their life that they don't want to sacrifice. And so they say it's an unfair reform that unfairly penalises working class people.
And it's unfair, I suppose, to the younger generation who are carrying the growing burden and who have to pay for the retirement of the older generation, which has, you could argue, acquired more wealth than the young could ever hope to acquire.
Yes, there's very much an aspect of generational equality here. As Paul mentioned, there is a decreasing number of people of working age paying for people of retirement age. And this is why retirement ages have been rising across Europe, because we have a growing number of people in retirement age categories, partly due to growing life expectancy. And so if you don't reform this now, then that is a problem of generational inequality that will carry through.
Paul, or rather, Remy, let me put this question to you. President Macron has already had to make concessions to the unions and his political opponents. Will he, do you think, be forced to make further concessions? You said that it's inevitable. This is going to happen whether people like it or not. But is he going to have to make further concessions, perhaps back down entirely, as Jacques Chirac had to do? Or, as we were hearing from Harry right at the beginning of the programme, will he be able to force it through without a vote?
Well, forcing it without a vote is always an option, and he cannot really go back at this point, because it's really one of his main reforms. I don't think it's that significant economically compared to other key economic, technological issues, which are far less discussed, but that's really one reform that he has really put forward. It was really a centerpiece in his manifesto. So he really has to move forward with it, and he's certainly willing to do it by force. Obviously, he is trying to, with his prime minister, to find an alternative solution, gaining more support from the centre-right, which has shrunk a lot in recent years in France, election after election. So we are really facing the challenge of a very limited political stage. Also, on this side, unions are very little representative, and on all sides, people really are fighting for, I was about to say for survival, but let's say for political relevance in a very challenging environment. So obviously, the government has to really move forward with this reform on political grounds, even though it's not that essential, economically speaking, compared to other fundamental issues.
Paul, I saw you both shaking your head and agreeing there on this point that Macron has already had to make concessions to the unions, and will he have to make any more?
I think he'll probably have to make some more, whether they're made to the unions or more likely to the Conservative Les Républicains, the opposition party, which has always called for a later retirement age and therefore can hardly vote against it now. But they're holding out for more concessions so that they can show that they won some socially fair changes. And I think, yes, there are a couple of changes. They've already sort of conceded that people who start work under the age of 21 shouldn't have to work until 64 if they've got their full contribution. So that's 43 years of contributions they'll need from 2027. Then they should be able to retire. There are all other concessions that can be made. They've already made some amendments for women. One thing which I think is a big thing, and they may concede late on, although I'm told the Treasury is still resisting it, is the question. They've put out this headline number and said the minimum pension from now on will be 1,200 euros a month, which would be quite a significant boost, about a 200 euro boost for the poorest pensioners. And the question is that 1,200 net of tax, or is it 1,200, but then they take off a social deduction? And so that's still something that's in play, and they may have to make a concession there. The issue about forcing it through, I mean, there is a French legal provision that they can call a vote of confidence, essentially, and that they invoke this article of the Constitution, and the law is deemed to have passed unless the opposition manages to find a majority to overthrow the government. This is a minority government. It doesn't have a majority of its own. Therefore, it needs extra votes or extra abstentions to pass law. It's a possibility that the government could be toppled, be very unlikely, and it would require all of the opposition forces who hate each other almost as much as they hate Mr. Macron to come together. More likely is they will be able to get all or most of Les Républicains to vote for this bill with one or two more changes. The cutoff date in Parliament under the procedure for the final vote is the 26th of March. So between now and the 26th of March, I think the government will have some concessions up its sleeve, which it will eke out at key moments as it sees the number of strikers going down, the number of demonstrators going down. One thing that you are hearing today is the third big protest day and strike day, and the number of strikers and the number of street demonstrators appear to be slightly down, but it's by no means over. It's during a school holiday period, so there may be fewer people because of that and so on. But one thing that you are hearing from the more radical trade union leaders is talk of an all-out strike that would be open-ended and could be extended every day. And that is something which obviously would cause serious damage over time to the economy, and particularly if they were to do things like blocking oil refineries to prevent petrol getting to gas stations and things like that. On the other hand, that might well split this united union movement, which is there at the moment in the streets protesting against this bill, because I don't think all of the unions will agree to an open-ended general strike. So okay. In my political judgment, The unions, although they have justice on their side in some of the points which Rainbow mentioned, they're on a losing track, and they need to also work out what they can settle for, or what at what point they call it quits.
Okay, Rainbow, pensions eat up 16%, very nearly, of GDP compared to the EU average of 13.6 and just over 12.6 in Germany. Now, the opposition parties argue that the way to fund earlier retirement is to make employers pay more through taxes. And that, of course, in a country that has the highest tax take in Europe after Germany. Is that a realistic solution? Are there other alternatives here? And if not, why not?
If it's okay, I'd rather speak to the political aspect, because I'm a political scientist, not an economist.
Okay.
So I would rather respond to some of the claims about the feasibility of pushing this through. It was mentioned earlier that the government might try to ram the legislation through using the bypass of Parliament. Mm-hmm. I think even though they do have the option of doing that, I think it's very unlikely that they will. They have done this repeatedly for the budgetary reforms that they've done throughout the autumn legislative period. And the nature of this parliamentary override is that they are allowed to do it unlimited times for budget reforms, which is a big part of the legislative agenda. But after that, they can only do it one more time in a parliamentary session. So they would be using their last bullet in the gun, if you will. But I think this is a politically sensitive issue, and they've made it very clear that they don't want to go down that path, that they want to get a legislative consensus. Mm-hmm. So I think it is much more likely that they're going to try and go down the route of working with other political parties. But the Republicans are aware of the fact that, on the one hand, this is very much something that they have been promoting for a long time. But at the same time, it's also an issue that isn't very popular in terms of public opinion. All the public opinion polls coming out say that majority of the country is against this.
Right.
So they are going to be a bit wary, I think, of propping up a minority government on something that most voters stand against.
Let's put the question to Remy then. Are there viable alternatives to later retirement? Is there something that the government is missing here? Is the opposition right?
Well, increasing the contribution, as you mentioned, of employers or current workers is an option, but the opposite is rather on the table, trying to rather lessen this burden, which is already too high. So it's not really discussed or just, I mean, you just see a few amendments that are proposed in that direction, but that's not taken really seriously. But really, considering the outlook for this burden, the burden of pensions and in terms of GDP, it's actually expected to drop and to align with other European countries as a result of previous reforms. We've had already three rather major reforms over the past 30 years now, and this one is not such a major reform in the end. It's more of an acceleration of previous reforms as far as the contribution time is concerned and adjusting the age of retirement. The main adjustments have already been made to lower the burden on active workers, the burden of funding pensions. And the thing is also is you have a very disrupted job market, very, very uneven, very unequal, as was mentioned before. Lots of people who are below the age of retirement have absolutely no option to go back to work when they're fired. And lots of people at any age, whether educated or not, of course, it affects less educated people more, have very difficult access to the job market and cannot really expect to contribute to the system and will be left out of it at the end of their careers. So I think the issue of economic crisis, and we've been facing economic crisis after economic crisis in recent years, cannot be entirely dismissed. It's not just a matter of fiscal arithmetic in the end. And You can take consider different European countries which would implement exactly the same reforms, but in the end it have very different growth path and in terms of productivity, especially the outcome will be very different of the balance of the pension system.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Time is rapidly running out here. I want to get one more question in for Paul. How much money will raising the retirement age save? Is it going to plug the deficit in French pension funding? And would it save enough money for France to spend in other areas? For instance, defence, given the amount of money that the country is currently spending on assistance for Ukraine?
Well, that's not the intention of this reform. The intention is that the proposal will generate 18 billion euros in savings by 2030. But that doesn't help with current defence spending or with aid for Ukraine. And almost a third, in fact, perhaps more than a third, by the time they've made more concessions, of those savings will be redistributed to various different forms of disadvantaged groups, people doing physically wearing things, exactly the things that Rainbow was talking about, the working class people who do heavy labour and who need to retire earlier. I think a big thing, I come back to this point, that France is less than a minute. Not just because of its bolshiness. It's also an exception because so few older people are in work. And that's something the country needs to address. And this government is starting on that, but in a very kind of timid way. They want to introduce an index of senior employment, as they call it, so as to sort of name and shame the companies that don't employ enough seniors. And the companies are screaming blue murder, saying, we don't want to be forced to employ more, you know, quotas of old people and so on. But if you look at how Germany and the Nordic countries handled this, they're much better at using older workers as mentors, as people with experience, teaching younger people, partnering apprentices, partnering novice workers, mm-hmm. and so on. And France needs to start doing that. Yeah. And that's, of course, not in the minds of people demonstrating today, unfortunately.
Of course. I'm sorry, we're going to have to end it there. We are out of time. Thank you all, Remy Bourgeot, Paul Taylor and Rainbow Murray, for being with us today. And thank you for watching. Don't forget, you can see the programme again at any time just by going to the website. You'll find that at aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. You'll find that at facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And, of course, this conversation will continue on Twitter. Our handle at AJInsideStory. From me, Adrian Finnegan, and the team here in Doha. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again. Bye for now.